this Christmas, as we head towards Christmas and into our Christmas season, we're going to do kind of an Advent type thing, and yet not your traditional Advent. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to ask the question, or answer the question, what child is this? Who is this child? I mean, how many children are born and have a holiday on their birth? Now, I know there's some of you who think that your birthday is a holiday, you know, but most of us don't know that. And so we don't celebrate your holiday. If you do in your house, that's great. But here's someone who, for 2,000 years plus, has changed the course of our world. Who is this child? Now, of course, we think we all know him. We say, oh yeah, you know, we know who he is, and we know all the stories of Christmas and all that type of thing. And yet sometimes I think we really don't stop to realize who he is and what he has done. And so this, for the next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at four different groups of people who are involved in the Christmas story. Of course, we're going to be talking about Mary. We'll talk about her today. Next week, we're going to be talking about Joseph. On the 17th, we're going to be talking about the shepherds. On the 24th, in the morning, we will be talking about the wise men. And then, of course, Christmas Eve service, and it is on a Sunday this year, and it will be at 6 o'clock. We're going to be wrapping it up by talking about the child himself, who is Christ Jesus. But leading up to that, we're going to just look at the Bible. We're going to look at the different passages of Scripture, and we are going to see what we can learn about Jesus Christ through the individuals that I have just mentioned. And so today, now I think if the people who are very, very, strict about Advent, they started last week. But I'm starting this week because I still have four Sunday mornings before Christmas. And so I feel like I can start this week, you know. And so I'm going to, but today we're going to light one candle, if I can get to the candles. And we're going to light the candle that is going to represent Mary and the things that we can learn about Jesus Christ from Mary. Our scripture passage this morning is going to come out of the book of Luke. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading with verse 26. And I'm going to read the entire little narrative here down through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descent of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he says to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, in the busyness of this season, we oftentimes overlook what the season is all about. Father, it's not really about gifts and trees and lights and presents and celebrations, and it's not about parties and whatever, Lord. It's about the birth of the Messiah. It's about Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Father, as we learn about Jesus these next 4 weeks, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that, Lord, by the time Christmas comes here, we will see Jesus in a very different way. That we will know him better. That we will understand the work that he did in a different light. Father, I pray that over this period of 4 weeks, that your Holy Spirit would do a tremendous work in each and every one of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually when we look at this passage of Scripture, we talk about Mary. Because she's central in this passage of Scripture. I mean, if it was not for Mary, the angel wouldn't have come. But we talk about Mary and talk about how willing she was to be used by the Lord, even though she didn't understand how this was all going to work. I mean, she was young. She was young, the age of some of your daughters in here. My daughters are actually probably older now than Mary was at that time. So she didn't really understand how this was all going to happen, but she trusted God. And we usually talk about that, and it's a great sermon on trust, and it's a great sermon on faith, and it's a great sermon on how we can give ourselves to God to be used by Him. But oftentimes, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we don't look at what the angel is telling Mary about the son that she is going to have. And what we learn is important, because it affects our thinking about Jesus Christ. It affects how we think of him, how we honor him, how we worship him. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to go through all the verses, but there, in the middle there are some key verses, starting with verse 31 and going through verse 35, that these verses give us information about Jesus Christ that is important for us to know. So let's go back to, first of all, Luke 1, verse 31. And let's look at that. It says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, very simple things that we're learning here. First of all, it's a boy. It's a boy. It's going to be a boy. You know, nowadays we have the technology that if you so wish, you can go to a doctor and they can tell you whether you're going to have a boy or a girl. And it's so convenient, you know, because now you can know if you're going to buy pink things or blue things. And because if you didn't know, you bought things like yellow things and green things, you know, because those are more generic, I guess. I don't know. Not in that thing and stuff like that. But Mary didn't have to meet technology before she even conceived. She was told what child she was going to have. The child was going to be a boy, going to be a son. Now, this also fulfills a prophecy that we find in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So Jesus being a boy is, in a very small way, but yet a profound way, is fulfilling prophecy in that back in Isaiah's day, he talked about a son that would be born. The second thing we learn in this passage of Scripture, this verse, is the name. "And you shall name him Jesus." You shall name him Jesus. Now, you know, I don't know, was Mary disappointed she didn't get to name her child? You know, that's a big thing today. What are you going to name your child? You know? And I got to be telling you, this generation is going to have some pretty interesting names for their children. Fortunately, none of you in here have gone crazy. But, you know, here, you know, Mary was just a little disappointed. You know, it's like, God's going to name my baby for me? His name is Jesus. Well, it's, just what it is. Jesus. That's the name that he was supposed to have. And that is verified in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where this is the story about Joseph. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. And this is what Joseph hears. And it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, we'll talk about that next week. But that is so vitally important as we look at what child is this. And then Luke 2:21, and this is after Jesus was born, and as is the custom in their culture, they would go to the temple to dedicate the baby at 8 days. And actually, it is at that time then when the child is named. And we read here, it says, "And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, he was then called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb." So we have, he's a boy, he's a son, his name is Jesus. And then we go on, and we're going to get into more deeper stuff. This is all just kind of surface stuff, in a way. We go to Luke 32 of chapter 1. It says, "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, that's pretty important information. Jesus Christ will be called the Son of the Most High, and that certainly is fulfilled in Scripture. Now, here's kind of an interesting passage of Scripture that I'm going to bring to you. It's in Mark chapter 5, verse 7. Because this is when Jesus is encountering, of all things, a demon. Not a Jewish Pharisee or a leader. He is dealing with a demon here. And this is what the demon says. It says, "And shouting with a loud voice, he said, 'What business do we have with each other? Jesus, Son of the Most High God. The demons proclaim Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God. In this encounter, the demon speaking to Jesus Christ says, "You are the Son of the Most High God." Then he goes on and says, "I implore you by God, do not torment me." Now, I just think that's kind of an intriguing passage of Scripture that the demon is talking to Jesus, and "I implore you by God, to you, not to..." Anyway, it's a different story. But here we have that even the negative part, the evil part of this world, this creation, the demons recognized who Jesus Christ was. See, it isn't just the people who are on his side. It's the people who were against him, and they still knew who he was. He was called the Son of the Most High. And then in Luke chapter 1, verses 76, and this is farther on in our passage of Scripture, we have this verse that says, "And you, child, will be," and this is Zachariah's blessing on him, "and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will go on before the Lord to prepare his way." Now, this is talking about John the Baptist being born, but he is going to be prophet for who? For the Most High, for Jesus Christ. He's the one who's preparing the way for Jesus Christ. And so in this blessing that he has for his son, he says, "You are the prophet of the Most High," which is Jesus Christ. So we see that he will be called the Son of the Most High. The second thing we learn in this verse is that he will be king. He will be king. Now, it's really kind of interesting as I was looking at this. Melissa's been reading to me. She likes to read to me, but I don't let her read too often to me. But anyway, we've been going through the book of Rome. Anyone read the book of Rome? It's really long. It's, you know, I mean, I loved it at first, but I don't know. I just wish they'd get it over with. But anyway, at first, if I let Melissa read more often, but anyway. But in there, the thing, you know, they're talking about the, you know, the robe is how the effect it has on this Roman prefect and anyway, and the leader of the Roman world and you know, and it's kind of like, you know, he couldn't conceive of the idea of someone being king over him, or king of the world, and a king that didn't have an army. But anyway, I just don't know why I brought that in, but just kind of, if you ever read the Rome, I think you would see that connection. But yet, he will be king. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, again, a prophecy. It says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." He is going to be king on the throne of David, who was the great king in the history of Israel. And so this is the king who is going to be on David's throne. And that maybe doesn't mean much to us nowadays, but to the Jews, that is a tremendous prophecy, because they valued David so highly. And for someone to be on the throne, to be on David's throne, to be king in David's place, that was really something to be said about this child, that he will be the king on David's throne. And then in verse 33, we read, "And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Okay, so he's going to be the king on David's throne, and he's going to rule over the house of Jacob. And If we go to John chapter 1, verses 49, it says, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, remember, what did God change Jacob's name to? Does anyone know what he changed the name to? Israel. That's where we get the nation of Israel. You know, besides, the nation of Jacob, that wouldn't sound so good. Unless your name is Jacob, then you probably like that. But no, he changed Jacob to Israel. And so here we have Nathanael making, again, a testimony. You are the King of Israel. So he is this son named Jesus who will be great, who will be a king. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob. And here's something that is truly amazing. We read there, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. Boy, I wish we could say that about a good leader that we have, or that we have had. But everyone who has been a good leader in history has died. But Jesus Christ isn't going to give up his throne. He's going to lead his nation Israel, his people. He's going to rule over their house forever. And we go back again to Isaiah 9:7. It says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David, and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. I love those words. Peace, justice, righteousness. From then on and forever. Not going to end. This child that is born to Mary is going to be the king on David's throne, and his rule and his reign will never end. Then in verse 34, Mary speaks. She says to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? Very logical question. How can this be? I've never been with a man before. Well, that's good, because that fulfills prophecy. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and we go back to the son, and she will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But a virgin, this child could not have been born of a human relationship. If Joseph had been the father of Jesus, then Jesus would not have been the Son of God. It's impossible. This child had to be born through supernatural means, because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. Then in verse 35, the angel will give explanation to that very good question that Mary asked, how is this going to happen? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for this reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Well, here's how it's going to happen, Mary. You are not going to have relationship with Jacob, with any human. The Holy Spirit is going to come over you. And again, I'm not going to get into explaining how this all happened or how this all transpired. But all we know is that the Holy Spirit came over her and she became pregnant with a very special, special child. In Matthew 1:18, we have the same explanation as now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. No earthly father. Now, I know that the people of that time thought that Joseph was his father, but Joseph was not his father. And then the last thing it says in this passage scripture that we're going to look at, it says, for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. He will be the Son of God. He will be the Son of God. This goes back to the Son of the Holy One, but here it just comes right out and said, He will be the Son of God. The child born, and not that, this is again hard to explain, that's not when He began. Jesus Christ did not begin on the day He was born. He existed with God forever. So, no, Jesus Christ is not 2,000 how many years old. It's not. He's eternal. Always has been, always will be. This is a very difficult concept for us to understand. How Jesus could exist before He was born. But this is simply the time when Jesus came to this world. When he stepped into the world that He created. He stepped into a human form. But make no mistakes. Yes, He was hungry and He slept. And I'm sure He got slivers and He hurt. And He got blisters. He was a carpenter. He walked a lot. And we know that in the days that He died, He was in tremendous agony and pain, physically from spikes being driven through His hands and through His feet. So make no mistake, He was fully human. But He was also fully God. A concept that you have to accept by faith, because there's not much of an explanation for that. It's a God thing, and it's a thing that we just need to accept. And He showed that He was. He showed in His life that He was fully human, and yet that He was fully God. Now, we have, again, in the scriptures, Jesus Christ called the Son of God. And again, first time is a very odd situation. Matthew 4:3. It says, the tempter was the devil. Before we had a demon, now we have the devil himself. It says, the tempter came and said to Him, if You are the Son of God, see, He's calling Him the Son of God. If You are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And of course, we know that story. Jesus said, no, you cannot tempt God. The man does not live by bread alone. Great passage of Scripture. But here we have Satan himself. He's questioning God, but he's not really questioning Jesus on this. He's challenging Him. He's tempting Him. He's testing Him, but make no mistake, Satan knows who this is. He's the Son of God. And then in John chapter 1, verse 34, and this is John speaking, he says, John the Baptist speaking here, he says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the Son of God coming to this world. So we learn a lot about this child. What child is this? Well, he's Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He will be great. He will be a king on the throne of David. He will rule over his children, Israel. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be called the Son of God. And that's what Christmas is all about. The Son of God coming to this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to this world. But Lord, we've heard so much and we've seen the Christmas story and Lord, we sometimes just take for granted what really happened and who it was that came to earth and why it is that we celebrate Christmas. It's because of the tremendous gift that God gave to us in giving us His own Son. Not just to be with us, but Lord, as we will learn in the weeks to come, to save us from all our sins. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ. May we get to know Him very well this Christmas season. And we pray this in His name. Amen. As Advent unfolds, so will our understanding of Jesus Christ. And we will understand how, on a day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ coming to earth, that same day we're going to also celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us, and that He died on the cross. Someone once said, the reason for Christmas is Easter. The reason for Christmas is Easter. That's kind of cool. I like that. The reason for Christmas is so that Easter can happen, and if Easter had not happened, we would not be saved. I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward. We might have to draft someone. Al, can I ask you to serve in the balcony? Thank you. We have this account of Jesus having a meal with His disciples before His death. And it is relayed to Paul, and Paul relays it to us in his first letter to the church in Corinth. And he writes, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Father, thank you for this time around your table. Thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, just fill us full of the joy of Christmas, the joy not based on worldly things, but the joy that is based on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray this in His name. Amen.